Shabbat Shalom, everyone. Let's open with prayer as we prepare to study the scriptures. Baruch Ata Adonai Eloheinu Melech HaOlam Asher Kidshanu B'Mitzvotav V'Tzivanu La'Asok B'Divrei Torah. Blessed are you, Lord our God, King of the universe, who has sanctified us with your commandments and commands us to engross ourselves in the words of Torah. Amen. This time of year, we have to look at rebellion and spreading evil reports because these are recurring themes that show up in the Torah readings. Last week's Parsha described Miriam's Lashon Hara, her evil speaking against Moses and his wife. This week's Parsha describes the spies who were sent to scout out the Promised Land, and they came back with a bad report. In Hebrew, the report that they gave is called a slander. It was a slanderous report. And there's another occasion where it's just called an evil report. Not just a bad report, but evil. And then next week's Parsha describes the rebellion led by the sons of Korach. And so you could sort of get unnerved about all of this. But there's a reason that these themes are presented to us, and that is we need to understand how rebellion works and the destructive nature of rebellion and how it can work at a national level, how it can work within a community, but also how it works at the individual level. Because every one of us faces challenges where we want to speak against what God is doing or what is happening or what He is planning, because it's not always our nature to see things with eyes of faith. So it's useful, I think, to look at these cases and to learn about the destructive nature of rebellion, how it works, and how it masquerades. You know, rebellion often puts on a mask, and it pretends to be what it is not. It pretends often to be wisdom or caution or concern or even compassion. And it's important to note that rebellion is not the same thing as disagreement. Rebellion wants to overturn legitimate authority. One of the synonyms for rebellion is mutiny. And there is, in the scriptures, there's this very sobering statement that rebellion is like the sin of witchcraft. And witchcraft, if you think about it, is the illegitimate use of power, in this case supernatural power, to accomplish things that are forbidden to us. And rebellion is like that. It's not using supernatural power necessarily, but it's using power illegitimately to accomplish things that are forbidden. Related ideas to rebellion are revolt or defiance, uprising, sedition, insubordination, insurgence, and I like this word, usurpation. How many of you used that in the last week? But we want to look at rebellion not so that we can fully understand rebellion, but so that we can understand how to defeat rebellion when it wants to rise up inside of us. And this weekend I want to look at the way rebellion was working within the spies who were sent out, and to see some ways that you can overturn rebellion. So open to Parshat Shalach in Numbers chapter 14. If you have your Bibles with you, you can follow along with me. I'm going to pull out just some highlights from this. Tomorrow we'll go into more detail about some of these issues. I want to look at how the bad report spread. It spread because 10 of the spies who were sent by Moses saw things, and they looked at the natural circumstances, and in some cases they exaggerated details. Do you know that negativity works like that? Negativity can focus on certain things that may be true, but then enlarges those details as if they are absolute. It turns out that these 10 spies had bad reports. Only 2 had good reports from Joshua and Caleb. Sometimes when you are with people, you will be affected by their position, by their attitude. If you're with positive people, that can be helpful because it will cause you to become more positive. And if you're with negative people, even if you're trying to resist the negativity, you're going to find yourself becoming more and more negative. There are certain kinds of people who I call black holes, thinking of that astronomical term, you know, that describes this density in outer space that is so strong that it sucks light into it. No light escapes. And some people are like that. No light escapes from them. They are just darkness. Other people think of them as sponges, that they're always like sucking, absorbing from others in a negative way and taking away life. We don't want to be like that. We want to be people who have good relationships, give and take, who can be honest, but who have learned how to move through life in a way that pleases God because we have become people of faith. Now, you've probably heard the scripture that says, faith comes by hearing, and hearing the word of God. How many of you have heard that before? And when you think about that kind of hearing, it is not just the hearing of the ears. It really means that faith comes by paying attention to what God is saying and what He's doing, and then following through on the things that He shows to us. So faith is not a passive thing, it is an active thing. And how many of you have heard that scripture that says, without faith, it is impossible to please God? And when we're talking about faith in this way, we're talking about a kind of trust in God that produces faithfulness in us. That without trusting God, it's impossible to please Him. Does that make sense to you? And without being faithful to God, it's impossible to please Him. So we must trust Him and be faithful to Him. We have to be people of faith, and we can be people of faith because God Himself is faithful. Now in Numbers 14, we read about how the spies with a bad report are rallying people together on their side. It turns out in verse 1 of Numbers 14, that the congregation, it says, lifted up their voices and cried. The people wept all night when they heard the bad report. You see, everything in a sense depended on getting to the promised land. They had been in Egypt as slaves. They had spent a long time there. It was a difficult escape, if you will, and it was not going to be an easy journey up into the land. And the land was the destination, but the hope of going into the land was being undermined, and people had just lost heart, and they said, if only we died in the land of Egypt, or if only we died in this wilderness. And then here's that accusation against the Lord. Why has the Lord brought us to this land to fall by the sword, that our wives and children should become victims? Would it not be better for us to return to Egypt? And so they said to one another, let us select a leader and return to Egypt. Now we see how rebellion is working. That it relies on fear. It relies on negativity. And it relies, believe it or not, on giving up on the calling of God. When the children of Israel said we should choose a leader to go back to Egypt, they were afraid of the difficult future, and they wanted to return to the previous condition that was known to them, even though they hated that condition. You know, sometimes people just want to go back to what's familiar. We see this with drug addicts. We see it with alcoholics. We see this with people in relationships where there's violence, that sometimes we're just habituated to the way things are, and we get stuck in those things. We'd rather be in that situation than in a known situation. But rebellion also depends on giving up on God and accepting accusations against God. God, why would you do this? You see, their faith was not in God delivering them. They had more faith that they were going to be killed. Do you know that it's really easy when you feel negative to have faith in negativity? you actually begin to imagine negativity more easily than you can imagine success. Does anybody relate to what I'm talking about? Has anybody had that experience where you've had to take a stand against negativity? Sometimes it's really easy to do, and sometimes it is pure warfare. But rebellion depends on giving up on the calling from God as well. And it also requires that you forget every victory that you've had so far. And I'll tell you why. When you remember victories in the past, you start getting stronger. You start anticipating what God is going to do. When you remember how you were in a hard place before and God delivered you, He answered you. Maybe it was a struggle in prayer. Maybe it took a long time. Maybe it felt like defeat until the very end, and then God lifted you up. But when you remember victories, you get strong. When you forget victories, you get weak. Now in verse 9, Moses has some very simple words. He's encouraging the people about the land. He's reminding them that the Lord delights in the people. He wants to bring them into the land. But he gives this word of caution. Only, say that, only do not rebel against the Lord. Do not rebel against the Lord. Nor fear the people of the land. You see, that's really interesting. Rebelling against the Lord and fear, these two things go together. When you have quiet confidence in the shalom of God, it is hard to rebel against Him because it's hard to be afraid. To be afraid in a wrong sense. There are certain situations where we need to be quite sober. So Moses is saying this. Now in verse 11, we get a little glimpse into the heart of the Lord. Into his heart and his heartache. And he comes to Moses with the terrible question, how long will these people hold me in contempt? How long will they reject me? How long will they not believe me with all the signs which I have performed among them? How long? Where it says, how long will they refuse to believe in me? I think it's probably better to say, how long will they refuse to believe me? How long will they refuse to trust me? How long will they refuse to support what I say? And then if you take the language apart, because this word in Hebrew about believing in me is formed from the root of the word from which we get amen. And so, sort of a rough way of translating this is, how long will they not say amen to what I want to do? You see, rebellion is when you want your will instead of the will of God, and you would willingly walk away from God's plans in order to have what you want. There's a kind of prayer that is powerful that says, God, what you want, I want. Yeshua said, you need to learn to pray like this. You know, our Father who lives in heaven, holy is your name. Your kingdom come. Your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. And when you pray that way, your will be done on earth. You know what you're doing? You're volunteering to the Lord. And you're saying, Lord, I want to be a person who does your will, an instrument of your will. In Numbers 14, verses 17 and 18, we see this absolutely fascinating turn that happens. Moses and the Lord are negotiating the future of Israel at this moment. The Lord's fed up. The Lord's heart is broken. And he's offering to Moses an alternative. And Moses is saying, Lord, this would not be good for your reputation. Because if you give up on the Jewish people now, all the nations will stop believing that you are the mighty God. And they will think you're too weak or you're not good enough. But if you succeed, your name will be exalted. And then Moses does something. I love this in verse 17. And now I pray, let the power of my God be great. And remember, Moses has revelation that the power of God is revealed not in destruction, but in redemption. God doesn't show his power simply by defeating others who are strong, but by bringing up the weak, lifting up the broken, healing the sick. And Moses begins to proclaim to the Lord what the Lord had proclaimed to him. Back in Exodus chapter 34, we read how the Lord took Moses up to the mountain, and then the Lord came down in a cloud, and then the Lord stood next to Moses in one way, while the Lord passed by Moses at a distance in another way, and the Lord standing next to him called to the Lord passing by, because God can be in two places at once, right? And the Lord began to call out. And these are the things that the Lord called out. I want you to notice something, that Moses is relying on this previous experience with God. There are times when you can have a memory of God. Even recall a revelation that God gave to you some time ago. At the time, it was important, but it didn't seem to do anything. But at this moment, you recognize, I need that revelation now. And Moses begins to say, I pray, let the power of my Lord be great, just as you've spoken, saying, the Lord is long-suffering and abundant in mercy, forgiving iniquity and transgression, but by no means clearing the guilty, visiting the iniquity of the fathers on the children in the third and fourth generation. Pardon the iniquity of this people, I pray, according to the greatness of your mercy, just as you have forgiven this people from Egypt until now. Moses is remembering, God, I had a revelation of you when I was standing on the mountain and I understood your mercy. I understood your compassion. I understood that you were forgiving towards us. Something touched me about you. I'll never forget that. And right now, I want to remind you of it, Lord. That is healthy. That is powerful. Moses is bringing out the best in God, if you will. Because God revealed his best to Moses. Moses saw something about the Lord that was so strong. You see, what was happening with the people is they were grumbling inwardly and outwardly against the future that God was bringing them into. They were grumbling inwardly and outwardly against the leaders who would bring them into that future, and they were grumbling against God because God had appointed these. And they thought that their new destiny was destruction, and so they began to prophesy even against themselves, we're going to be destroyed. And that actually became their destiny. They not only gave a bad report, those spies, they gave an evil report. It wasn't only evil in the sense of it being against the will of God. It was evil in the sense that it brought harm to other people as well. Now, I want to think for a minute as we're closing about the 10 spies who gave the bad report. I want to compare them to that old man in us, who doesn't function under the authority of God, but wrestles with the authority of God. Because think of the old man and his behavior, division and gossip and accusation, self-justification, passive aggression. You know what I mean by passive aggression? Outwardly saying yes, but inwardly saying no. That's one way of understanding it. Another way is that the person says yes, but their actions say no. And then there's this other aspect of the old man's behavior, and that's false responsibility. taking responsibility that isn't ours to bear and that belongs to other people. So it's a usurpation of other people's responsibility. That's old man behavior. And when you look in the scriptures, especially Paul has some insight about what to do with that kind of old man. And do you know what you do with that old man? You're supposed to kill him. That's the remedy. The remedy is death. Put to death those things. Overcome those things. Be renewed in the spirit of your mind. Put on Messiah. Let the Holy Spirit in you be moving. So it's not a matter of learning to cope with those things. It's learning to have victory over those things. Taking a position, a strong position. And tomorrow I'm going to go in some detail about this because I want to look at Ephesians 5 and 6. That describe how to be strong, how to be filled with the Spirit, how to speak words that encourage other people. You can look at Ephesians 5. You can read that at home tonight. Read Ephesians 6 as well. And you will find that there is a way to be strong in the Lord. But it requires the decision to be strong. To say, you know what, I'm going to fight with God's strength and not my own. I'm going to be strong in the Lord and in His mighty power. And we're going to put on the full armor of God. We're going to stand firm. We're going to do as we're taught to pray in the Spirit with all kinds of prayers. Don't get locked into praying just one way. And making our requests known with thanksgiving. And then we're going to be alert and we'll pray for people. All of these are part of Ephesians chapter 6 about how to win victories. We read about the spies so that we can decide which team are we playing for? Which team are we playing on? Who do you want to be? Do you want to be the 10 spies who have as their greatest goal returning to slavery? Or do you want to be the minority of two whose goal was this? To go forward with God and to trust God for victory. How many of us are facing big decisions, big challenges? Every one of us who has such things in our lives, we have to decide how we're going to go through them. Are we going to press into God and get strength from Him? Are we going to be filled with the Holy Spirit? Are we going to find out what pleases God and then do that? Or are we going to take every matter into our own hands and become like the rebellious spies? The rebellious spies got what they wanted, which was not to go in. They got it. As for me, I want to be like Joshua. He said, as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. As for me and my house, we're going to go on. You remember that fateful moment when the angel came down and Joshua said, who are you for? For us or for our enemies? The angel said, neither, but for the Lord. There are times when we don't need to take sides at the human level, but at the heavenly level. Your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. I want you all to win the battles that you're facing. I want you to have victory and to be strong. I want you to put off anxiety and fear. I want you not to be subject to the things that pulled down Israel as it was facing its destiny. How many of you want that kind of victory in your life? If you want that victory, stand up right now. I just want to pray for you. Very simple prayer. Lord, you are God Almighty who is able to bring us into the future and the hope that you have for us. You are able to deliver us out of the hands of the adversary. You are able to show yourself strong on our behalf. And we want to be servants of your great might. We pray as Moses prayed, let the power of the Lord be great. Let the power of the Lord be great. Let the power of the Lord be great, that we would see your victory, not ours. Your success. Your will being done. Knowing this, Lord, everything you desire will be good for us. Every plan you have includes us being blessed. Let the power of the Lord be great. We pray in Yeshua's name. Amen. Amen. Well, we're just going to close right now with Aaron's blessing. So gather together with someone you like. Stand together. Yivarechecha Adonai v'yishmarecha. Ye'er Adonai panavelecha v'chunecha. Yisa Adonai panavelecha v'yasemlecha shalom. The Lord bless you in His power and in His might. The Lord protect you and keep watch over you in the power of His might. The Lord cause the light of His face to shine upon you. The Lord be gracious to you. The Lord lift up His face to you and give you His shalom in the name of Yeshua, the Prince of Peace. Amen.
Amen.
Shabbat shalom.